Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for each one here. Father, of course, most importantly, Father, we desire that we're not just, well, we desire you. We desire you being here even more so. Just, I pray that you speak to our hearts, to each one of us, that each one of us will walk away today knowing that you've spoken to us, that we've heard you, been touched by you, moved by you, experienced you personally more in our life this morning in your house. And as brothers and sisters in Christ, I pray that you will help us, Father, to lift up praise to you, even if it's silently within our own hearts, and encourage each other as we're around each other and talk to each other. Bless the message, Father. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Well, today we're continuing and finishing. This is the last of the messages, part six of our series of messages entitled Imagination. And as Don mentioned, the title of the message this morning is Rock and Roll, but roll is R-O-L-E. But I'm going to back up. I have no problem with the other R-O-L-L. Because, well, I mean, really, what is rock and roll? You know, I said, oh, go back to the 60s and the drug days and all that type of stuff and woohoo, you know, and all the hallucinations, and that's rock and roll. Well, I kind of like to think of rock and roll just getting in together and having a blast together. You know, just enjoying. And that's what we as a church really should be experiencing more together, that all of us together are rocking and rolling in Christ. And again, I say that tongue in cheek. I say that with all due respect, that we have a blast in Jesus. But it requires the roll. Each one of us have been called, purposely designed for a role in the church. And that's an exciting place for each one of us to be. As we've been talking about the last 5 weeks of the messages for this series of messages, about the teachings of Jesus and his disciples on the term imagery or imagination, we've established, I think, fairly well the last 5 weeks that God does provoke our imagination to grasp spiritual truth. Right? We're the bride of Christ. We are to stand on the rock. We are to experience living water. We are to all these different things. It's all throughout the Bible. The typologies is really another word for the word imaginations that are used in the Word of God. And it always reflects our relationship, or more specifically, our union with Christ. We spoke about a couple weeks ago the imagery in the Bible about believers being united together as the bride of Christ. And I said last time, I said when we talked about the bride of Christ, it's hard for us guys to think about ourselves as a bride. But in reality, we are the body of believers brought together and are literally the bride that God, Christ Jesus, loves and adores beyond our imagination. And he wants us to have that type of union with him, like a bride with her groom. So we're seeing a picture here of the bride of Christ being the body of believers becoming united as one. Becoming united as one. For what reason? For one purpose. Now, I might say, go back to the title, to rock and roll. But I've never seen a band rock and roll that didn't rock and roll together. I've never seen a unit of people having an exciting time together if they weren't together. And so God takes us and places us in our particular roles as that body of believers in the bride of Christ for a purpose for each one of us. Let's watch a really quick video entitled Body, Bride, and Building.
This is the story of how God Almighty, which that was born of love and cost his blood, the story of his holy church. We were at first disembodied. Our limbs and bodies were active practitioners of misanthropy. We were fingers without hands, wrists with no arms, shoulders without chest, parts without form, heels with no foot, knees with no leg, toes with no step, appendages with no head. We were lost and stranded wanderers, doomed to die alone. But that was before God graciously left his throne. For as he was torn, we were mended. As he was ashamed, we were perfected. As he was ripped, we were sown. As he was opened, we were closed. And though the one true body is back on his throne, you may know that the one true body lives on here below. For his body did rise, yet in leaving it did not die, but lives on in the church, the unified body of Christ. But it wasn't just for a body that God sent his son to die. It was for an eternal companion. It was for a bride. As it is written, it is for this reason that man shall leave his father and hold fast to his wife. So the son left the father, so that the two may become one flesh, may become one life. When we became Christians, we left our fathers for the husband, and we all form the bride of Christ. But God's goodness was not then done, his plan not yet complete, for he wanted to live with his new bride, so he made his wife a building. Now we are living stones, breathing bricks, laughing lumber, surviving sticks, built bit by bit, inch by inch, together with every Christian the groom admits. Together we knit one on top of the other as we submit around the pillars of the apostles and prophets, all coming to sit on the one foundation of Christ, the structure's magnet. We are the church, the only building no force in heaven nor on earth could purge, the ark that holds the eternal God, the temple that trembles with his spirit's surge. We are the assembly of the saints, the congregation of the upright. We are where heaven inhabits. We are the fold of Christ. We are the temple. We are the city. We are the vineyard, the sanctuary. We are the body. We are the bride. We are the building. We are the church. We are the construction of eternity's eternal holy work. So we will never dismember the flesh. We will never divorce the wife. We will never dismantle the house. We will never dismiss the price. But we'll lay everything down for our everlasting tribe. For we are the church. We are the people of Christ.
Pretty cool, huh?
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Hey, I memorized that, and I decided to let the video do its thing. But, you know, really, in all honesty, when we think about churches, if we were really to be honest in our thinking about the unity of the body of believers for the sake of God's kingdom work, to be actively, effectively doing what God has called us to do as a living temple of God, are we or are we not like those separate pieces laid out? You understand what I'm saying? So many times, people, let's be real honest here, people are separate. The body is not united like it ought to be. You know, the individual lives are there. A pastor said, you know, you can't live in your own Cinderella syndrome. It means don't live in your own island. It means be united together. That the church, it's almost as if to look at that video and see all the pieces, all the components of the church are all there, all laid out. But it's up to us in our walk with God to allow the components to come together and be united together and as one in Christ to be what God wants us to be as a body of believers for his kingdom work. And that's what we want. We want to be that body of believers, that local church that God uses to be that much more effective for his kingdom work. And I don't want, you've heard that said a lot of times, and so it almost becomes a mundane statement, but really it should be something that grabs our heart, grabs our soul, and says to us, I have called you, that we sense the Holy Spirit saying, I have called you. You have to make a decision whether you want to step out of the box of your comfort and enter into the areas that are uncomfortable for the sake of serving me, knowing me, and experiencing me in your life the way I intend or intended for you to experience me. We have been brought together for a purpose. And the bride is that building. All the similarities. You see the parts of the mannequin. We see the structure of the building. We see it coming together. We could also say that, like on your bulletin cover, you see the stones being stacked together. You see the cornerstone, which is Christ. But are we willing to build on Christ in the way that God has specifically, structurally placed you and me together in His body? We can disconnect that spiritual picture from the physical reality of this local church. We can spiritually say we're all parts of the body of Christ. I agree with that. I'm cool with that. Everything's fine. But the practicality of what God intends for that has to be a reality in the physical body of believers in the local church. We must see ourselves not just united by faith and common faith in Christ, but we must see each other united in all practical ways together for the service and the purpose of God's kingdom work. That we are fellowshipping together, working together, growing together, helping each other together, and being together, that unit that God wants us to be right here for Him. So we have to connect the spiritual picture or the imagery of that to the reality of who we are. Because that's what God intends for us to be. A living body of Christ working together for Him and His kingdom to accomplish the purposes that He has for us to do. We pray that in our morning prayer time. We pray and we pray and we pray that God will use us the way He intends to use us. But we must be that body united together, willing to step out of the zones and into those challenging, uncomfortable zones to experience the wonder, the power, the person of Jesus in our life. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 through 10, let's read that. Coming to Him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on Him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, He is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed." We're going to talk about that in a moment. "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people." I'll stop right there. Does that not excite you to know that you are His chosen generation, you are a royal priesthood, that you are a holy nation, that you are His own special people? That's exciting to me. Absolutely. "That you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy but now have obtained mercy." You and I as believers in Christ have obtained the mercy of God. What's that mercy? Forgiveness. But where did forgiveness come? Out of God's love toward each one of us. We've experienced the mercy, the love, the forgiveness, the grace, the power, the person of Jesus in our lives through faith in Him. Peter can relate to the fact that Jesus is that rock. You see the imagery there? Jesus the rock, standing on the solid foundation, the rock. Okay? And as we're, you know, on the news, they were with Hurricane Florence, they were showing one area on Myrtle Beach where this concrete walkway was all going down to the beach. And underneath was 4 or 5 feet that was all open where the sand used to be there that the concrete steps were built on. We stand on a solid rock, though. There's no hollowness underneath it. I mean, there's no emptiness underneath it. There's the solidness of the rock of Christ. And Peter knew about the rock. And in Matthew 16:18, it says, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." We must remember that in order for the church to be the united body of believers in Christ, being what God intends for us to be, each one of us has to make the decision to stand on the rock who is solid and firm and secure in Him. We are solid, secure, and firm in Christ. Therefore, when Christ calls us out to do what He wants us to do, that's beyond who we are or our capabilities, we can stand firm on the rock. God called Peter out, and He said, I will build my church upon this rock, speaking of Himself. I've mentioned this in years past, that there's a picture of a little baby seagull on a rock at the Louvre. Now, not literally, physically, I'm talking about a picture, okay? On a rock, and the clouds are billowing black, the wind is blowing strong, the waves are tempestuous. This little seagull is standing on this rock, and its feathers are being blown out of position, kind of like a molting bird. These long, skinny, skinny legs have no muscle on them at all, standing with its clawed feet on this rock, bearing the storm. That's a picture of you and I standing on the rock. The odds stand against us, but Christ is our rock. And so that imagery is important. And that imagery was introduced in the Bible all the way clear back in Genesis and carried out throughout both the Old and the New Testament. Like you saw in the video, the bride, and we learned also in the messages that previous message, that we are the bride. Okay, and so we have the imagery of the bride and the wedding. We have the imagery of the rock as well. And these things, and we've used this term in this series of messages, should activate our imaginations. I'm going to add one word to that. Should activate our spiritual imaginations. What is the? Doesn't mean that we walk around in a cloud with these imaginations going on. It means that by picturing what God has told us in these typologies, these imageries, that we hold on to the spiritual truth that He's taught us or teaching us. That we can be the people that He's called us to be. That we learn to be dependent on Him. And you know what? When we're united in Him and with each other, we stand that much firmer on the rock. When we stand alone, we don't stand as firm. Sometimes. There are times, I'm talking about the body of believers, the bride of Christ, the local church. When we stand together in Christ, we stand stronger in Him. The rock imagery defines our relationship to Christ and to one another as fellow believers. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, it spells out that we have privileges as believers in Christ, that God has poured out on us. The privileges that we've received in Christ, we know Him, we're saved, He's in our life, He's equipped us, He's called us, He's empowered us, and many more privileges that He's given us or poured out on us also are coupled with our responsibilities. In other words, with privileges come responsibilities. And we need to look at those responsibilities. Because so many will say, I'm the body of Christ. Yes, I'm the bride of Christ, and I'm content with that, and I'm independent in my walk with Christ. That's in denial of the purpose that God has called for us. We are to be united as a local body of believers, that much more, and ever striving to be closer and helping each other more and more as we grow in the Lord. So Peter tells us that God has that purpose first, that He saved us, that we became living stones. If Jesus told Peter, which He did, that I am the rock, and then later told them that you are living or living stones, we're going to look at that, then what that is saying is that we are Christians who are living in Christ with solid faith. We are living stones, standing on the rock of truth, standing on the principles of God, being the people that God has called us to be. So let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 6. Coming to Him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You also, as living stones, believers in Christ who stand solidly on Jesus, your Savior, are being built up a spiritual house. Now, not to embarrass anybody, and always, well, you preclude that, that means you're going to embarrass somebody. But that's not what I mean, okay? But Amari stepping up and praying this morning, that's God working in him to build up the spiritual house. Wyatt and Lauren working in the young adult class teaching, that's building up the spiritual house. Watching Carolyn and Olin, how God uses him. And I can go on down the line. I remember seeing Ron and Maria and their coffee snack ministry, which, boy, I love that extra boost in the morning, both in fellowship and in food. But we all have those things that God uses to place us strategically in the work that he has that builds us up into a spiritual house. We begin to see God placing and structuring and using and developing each one of us in ways that we did not expect. So verse 5, you also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, that's who Jesus is. He was chosen of the Father to be that redeemer, to be that deliverer, to be that one that paid the price, the atonement for our sin, to be our Savior, okay? The elect, precious one, okay, the elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. So it came to no surprise that Peter would call Jesus a living stone, or that the Lord would call, that the Lord Jesus is a living stone. That Peter acknowledged and recognized Jesus as that living stone. Peter heard the Lord refer to himself as the rock. The rock. I can't help but think about the idiom, chip off the old block. That's kind of how we are. Christ is the solid rock, the rock, the one, the main source, and you and I are living stones. Christ in us, we in him, living in Christ, him living through us, living stones. What a blessing that is. Christ in the Old Testament and the New Testament, as the Messiah, as Christ, as the Anointed One, the Holy One that was prophesied, was known as the rock throughout the Bible. For example, in Psalm 118:22, it says, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. And in Matthew 21:42, it says, Jesus said to them, have you never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. It's marvelous in our eyes because Jesus, being who he is, that we can know God personally, and as we talked about previously, become living temples of God. God and us, we're the structure, we're the living temples of God. It is marvelous in our eyes what he does, how he transforms us and shapes us and molds us with not just the intent, but with the end in mind that he will complete us as he would have us to be in Christ Jesus forever. He began a good work in you and me, and he's going to finish that work in you and me. And it will glorify him. It'll glorify him. You know, I think it's kind of interesting also that not only was Jesus or the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One, so forth, was mentioned as the rock, but pagan idolatry, many of the pagan gods were carved out of rock. They had to lug their idols with them, carry a carved rock in their backpack. We carry the rock, Jesus, in our heart. And he'll never leave us, and he'll never, ever forsake us. Prophets mocked those who worshiped a stone that was carved by man instead of God, who is the rock, who is the creator of all that there is. They worshiped a stone that had no life in it. We worship the rock who rose from the dead. and his name is Jesus, right? We worship the rock, Christ, the living stone. Because Jesus is the living stone, those who put their trust in him also become living stones. If we trust him, not just as our Savior, but trust him with our life, by giving our life to him, if we trust him to do what he wants to do in and through our lives for him, we experience what it means to be living stones in Christ. In 1 Peter 2:5, it says, "You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." We are being placed spiritually in the imagery in God's kingdom work. Physically and in reality, God has called us each uniquely to be placed as it pleases him in his kingdom work here on earth. Ephesians 2:19-22 says, "Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." The book of Revelation shows that the 12 foundations, there's the foundation of the new Jerusalem. There's 12 foundations of the apostles, and Christ being the base of that. It's an imagery. It's a picture. And so, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. If you were to look at the Wailing Wall, and you see them praying at the Wailing Wall in Israel, and they fold up their prayer and they slide it as tightly as they can into the seams between the stones that were cut and precisely placed in that wall. Temple was built precisely. Each stone was hewn out precisely to meet and to fit in the place that it was intended to go. Just like you and I are precisely hewn, meaning precisely made, called, developed, and to be placed as God intends in his church, body, family for his kingdom work. The question is, have we recognized where God places us? And this goes one step further. Have we not only recognized it, but are we willing to accept it and be used as God intends for us to be used? Because when we're doing that, what we're doing is we're becoming united in the purpose and in the perfect function that God intends for us to be as a unique local church. This church, every Christian church, is uniquely put together. God places us where it pleases him. All the parts are there to do God's work. Even now, whatever God wants to do through our church here, all the parts are here. But we have to be willing to say, I recognize my part. I'm the hand, I'm the toes, I'm the arm, I'm the leg, and so forth. I've recognized that. It's like saying, I recognize how I've been shaped and formed and made and how unique I am. I recognize that. I recognize the abilities that God has given me, or how God is tugging at my heart and pulling me and drawing me into his kingdom work. But have we made a decision to take a step and move forward and let God place us as he intends to place us for him in his kingdom work? That's the only way we can take the imagery of the building, the bride being put together, or the building and the stones being built together, precisely being brought together by the intent that God intended, that you and I as believers and brothers and sisters in Christ are fitly, that means tightly, joined together with the focus together of doing God's kingdom work as a unit of believers that God has called together right here. That's what God wants. That's what God wants. We are living stones, and we're called to share the life of Christ throughout ministry. 1 Peter 2:5 says, "You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." When we walk together, when we live together in Christ, when we're walking with a heart that's yielded to God, We see the spiritual work and power of Christ working in and through our lives that visually we see change the hearts and lives of people for God's glory. How wonderful is that? Ephesians 2:19 through 22, again, says, "Now therefore you are no longer strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord." It's a process of development that he wants to bring to fullness in us as a church, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Just as builders today lay brick upon brick to build a building, so too Jesus places each of us together for a purpose. You ever do the freestanding flagstone or river rock fence? You dig through the rocks, find the one that fits, that's not going to fall over, that's going to hold the structure. And that's what God is doing with you and I. God has fit us together to grow us together in a holy temple. But here's the clincher. If we're broken or cracked, the building cannot be all that God intends for it to be. You say, "Well, Pastor, you know, I'm a sinner. I am too." Excuse me, we're not talking about the fact that we're sinners and we fall. We're talking about hearts that choose not to be right with God. Let's just put it right out there. See, we can fall and we can fail, but we also acknowledge and repent, and we're right with God after that. But the brick that's cracked and broken is the brick or the individual that says, "I know where I've fallen and I don't care." And that affects the structure of God's church family and the effectiveness of God's kingdom work as he's called us and placed us together here. Each brick is important. It probably wouldn't be uncommon for someone to say to me, "Terry, you're a brickhead. Hard as a brick," right? But God has said, you know, each one of you, each of us are bricks that he has put together, and each of us are important to God. We must remember how important we are to this holy building. I can't emphasize that enough. We must accept the fact that you and I, we together are very important individuals placed together strategically by God's hands. We must remember how important we are to this holy building of believers. Each of us are needed to make this building strong and stable. We have a purpose or a role. What's the role? R-O-R-O-L-E. It's how God has shaped us, molded us, and intends and the purpose of how he wants to use us for his glory collectively as a body of believers. Now, if all of us are working collectively as a body, I have not ever seen a time when we didn't have a work day or some sort of ministry outreach or some sort of event where all those that came that were working together were not having a great time working together because they sensed God's blessing on them. That's the rock and roll part. I'm doing my part, and we're rocking together in Christ, because we're in Christ, and we're having a blast serving God together, and we're encouraging each other, and we're building each other just by being together. We don't even have to say a word for God's kingdom work. In 1 Peter 2:7 and 8, "Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become a chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed." And we have to understand the word "appointed" there does not mean that God foreordained condemnation or separation from God or eternal judgment apart from God. That's not the word "appointment" there. It is the result of disobedience that is appointed. Or it is also, we can know the result of obedience. We know the result of receiving Christ is a relationship with him that's eternal. never separating. And we know that the result of disobeying God and not receiving him as our Savior is eternal separation from God. And that's the intent that's being said here. A stone of stumbling or a rock of offense, those that reject Christ the rock, they stumble, being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. God knew that there would be those that would not receive him as a Savior. God knows who each one is that will receive him and that won't. And that appointment was made as a result of their rebellion against God. If you're here this morning and you have never asked Jesus in your life, I bet you anything the Holy Spirit's talking to your heart right now saying, I want you to let me in your heart. Don't take offense to that, but realize God is simply saying, I love you, and I want a relationship with you, and I want you to realize a new life by walking your life in me as living stones. Peter joins two Old Testament prophecies regarding Christ as the rejected rock. In Psalm 118:22, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. And Isaiah 8:14 says, he will be as a sanctuary, but a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, as a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And in verse 7, Peter is telling us that those who disbelieve are disobedient and reject the rock that God the Father accounts precious. Is not Jesus precious to the Father? As a believer, is not Jesus precious to you? And we say, yes, he is. And then the question might be, what evidence in your life dictates that Jesus is precious to you? And only comes by us yielding and giving ourselves to God and walking with him and living for him and not ourselves. Verse Peter told us that those who stumble over the gospel, over Christ, they're hurt. And they don't have an ordinary hurt, they have an eternal destiny of separation from God, which is the body will suffer physically, an eternal body forever will suffer. And spiritually they suffer, separated from God's presence. But you are a chosen generation, in 1 Peter 2:9 through 10, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. We have Christ in our heart. He's our Savior, and we are truly blessed. 1 Peter chapter 2 emphasizes that we have a duty, that's a responsibility that comes with the blessings. We have a duty that is to proclaim or to make known the greatness of God to other people, that God will be glorified. In other words, we ought not, just be glad with the blessings we have of being saved and not carry out the responsibility that God has charged us with, to be living stones that reveal who God is, that others will receive him, and that God will be glorified. Remember, we are not our own. We belong to him. We are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. We are his special people. And because of that, that's the definition that describes our purpose. We are called to reconcile others to God and proclaim his praises, because of what he has done for each one of us, being all together in him. The rock Jesus has given us, as his living stones, have a role to fulfill. We're to get our rocks rolling, get in place, and enjoy each other doing God's kingdom work, being placed strategically in the building that God has called us to be, in the temple that God wants us to be in, to bring glory to God. I'm going to close with some suggestions on how to do that. Working together jointly as those stones placed specifically and God's temple, the church, which we are and which we are brought together here, we can start experiencing those opportunities of being what God wants us to be collectively in the body of Christ. As Steve was saying earlier, there's a lot of stuff going on. I can't read the print. Well, I can hardly read the print, but I'm going to try. Okay? This Wednesday, make it a point to go to the school at 8 o'clock at the middle school and pray around the flagpole. A powerful witness to those that watch. Bring your Bible to school on October 4th. On October 13th, your youth group is having Dino Night. Just a special night for them here. October 14th, Creekside Kalinga Homeless Mission Project delivery. Probably will be at Olson Park. Okay, we have a barbecue and worship service there. October 21st, church barbecue and family fun after morning worship. Stay for fellowship. Trunks for Treats outreach in Keck Park from 6 to 8. Opportunity to bear the light of Christ on a very dark night. Be involved in Herb's Kitchen mission project. Just a few of you that are there, 7 or 8 or 10 or 12, it doesn't matter. But working together to represent Christ and feed those that need food. Deadline for Operation Christmas Child Shoeboxes through Samaritan's Purse. Thanksgiving meal cooked for those in need. We're going to have an open meal at church where people in need can sit down and have a meal together with us for Thanksgiving. Christmas party for the adults at 7 p.m., ladies' ornament exchange, and fellowship event at 10 a.m., Living Nativity costume fitting and scenery at work December 8th. Living Nativity and Animal Petting Zoo on December 9th. Christmas program worship service December 23rd. Ignition, which is a youth conference. And each of these things, we can be involved and contribute whatever help we can. That's being the specific rock that he's made us to be. And that's bringing us together collectively in fellowship to be about God's kingdom work. And to be used to touch people's lives and bring glory to God. So use your imagination for God, what God has called us to do, and know the opportunities that he gives us to roll into. You get that? Look at the opportunities that God has given us to roll into, meaning our own role, our own purpose that God has for each one of us to contribute and to enjoy together. Let's go to the Lord. Father, I want to thank you for each one here. Father, I realize the message is a little bit longer today, but I also know, Father, that the message is also one that challenges us to be united more and more in you together. That we come together and we work together in your kingdom work. We fellowship together. We use our own independent gifts and qualities together. That we see you in the midst of it. That we rejoice together. We have fun together. And you know the term I used this morning? We rock and roll together in your kingdom work. And may it be used for your glory. I just pray your honor this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Word Infusion audio podcast. We would like to encourage you to do three things. First, please email us at thewordinfusion@mindspring.com and tell us how this podcast has ministered to you. Secondly, we would like to encourage you to join the Word Infusion Facebook page by clicking like at the top. This will provide you with announcements of podcasts, live online Bible studies, and live online discussions. We will also send you Bible verses. Lastly, we would like to encourage you to share this podcast and the Facebook page info with your friends, family, and church. Thank you once again for being with us. We look forward to hearing from you.